Good morning to each one of you. Greetings in Jesus' name. We have tremendous opportunities. And if you would just look around, you will see the success of many people. And you can see that success right here. You can see that success in individuals, how that they have followed Christ, followed the teaching of God's Word, followed the teachings of families. And we have tremendous opportunity. This message today is specifically aimed towards the fathers, but all of us, can benefit from the truth of God's Word. Because all of us have a certain amount of influence. Whether you be a father, whether you be unmarried, whether you be a mother, whatever your spot is in life, we have an influence. And for dads, you know, we try to do the best for our families. Because we have a goal in mind. And if you would look around at the businesses or the professions of the men and maybe some of the ladies here, you would see a lot of success. And that's good. When you apply the principles of God's Word to our lives, it's amazing how it works out in our work ethic and the things that we produce. And, you know, it goes on down the line. We strive to be good, solid employees that our boss speaks well of and maybe even continues to promote. And that's good. We work hard to do things that we deem worthwhile. And that's not just with the men. But that's with the ladies as well. We work hard at things we deem that are worthy. But how many times have you personally come up short in doing something? Whether it was part of your business, whether it was part of your family, whether it was spending time with them, how many times have you come up short? How many times have we come up short spending that necessary time with God personally? And then maybe with individuals. One thing we do know, God never rests. And God is always available for you, for me. God is always there. He always has enough time personally for you and for me. And we can rejoice in that. God always has our best interest in mind, spiritually, but physically sometimes as well. But along that path of life, sometimes the things that we think are not as easy, God is using to shape, to mold us. The things that we think are important, the things that we think are needful, the things that we want for our children, our families, doesn't it pale in comparison to what God wants for each one of us spiritually, eternally? And so the question I have, or a couple of questions I have, what is important to you? What is number one on your list? And you don't have to answer that, but I want you to think about that. Because as we become Christians, and then as we face other things that come our way in life, I think our number ones change. I think they change in life. and we devote that time to some of those changes that come in life? Do you love the time that you spend, men, or have an opportunity, men, to spend with your wife? Do you love that? Do you cherish that? Do you love the opportunity, the time that you get to spend with your children, whether they be small and you're carrying them in your arms, or whether they be adults that you work beside? Do you include your family in your work, in your hobbies, in the fun things, in your interests? Do you include them in that? And are you interested in their life? Are you interested in what their interests are? Every day we have tremendous opportunity to take time to show our interest, to show our care, to teach, and to portray God in our lives. And we have many, many opportunities each day to exemplify God if we remember. If we remember how merciful and how loving God is for you personally, and then we relay that love and care to those around us. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 28. We read in the Old Testament the instructions that God gave the children of Israel. And you all know that I enjoy the Old Testament and the precepts that were set up there. The instructions. And these are foundational for the New Testament writings and teachings. And these instructions were for their good personally. And you know as well as I do that we learn through repetition. Just like we're going over these memory verses. We learn through repetition. We learn through little jingles, little songs. We learn through going over it again and again and again. And as our children were growing, and as I was growing, my mom and dad, they had to give me instruction more than once in some areas. And in our lives as parents, we also had to give instruction more than once in certain areas of life for our children. Why? Because it builds upon. And we remember when it's repeated. We learn through repetition. We learn through singing. We learn through going over it again and again. And we all recognize that some people get it quicker than others. Some people, like myself, are a little bit harder headed. And it doesn't quite sink in through that thick skull. And some others have that tender spirit. In Isaiah 28, verse 9, it says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts." In other words, it is those that are maturing. "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people, to whom he said, 'This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing,' yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken." The word precept means an injunction or a command. And it says in these verses, line upon line, precept upon precept, it's command, 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 command. If we look about that, look through those verses, it is telling us to keep commanding, to keep repeating an injunction, a commandment. Line upon line means a connecting cord. It is connecting that line or that precept, that commandment to the person that you're commanding. A line upon line, precept upon precept, connecting those cords. And we learn by repeating things. We learn through singing songs. But we don't learn if we're not taught. And we don't learn if we're not teachable. And we don't learn if we're not searching and listening and learning or looking to learn. But if we are diligently seeking God first, if we are diligently seeking to increase our business, we're going to put a lot of effort into increasing that business, to doing a good job. But how about increasing our eternal business with ourselves personally and our families that follow after? We look back at Deuteronomy, and I want to turn there a bit as well. Deuteronomy chapter 4. The name of the book, Deuteronomy, means second law. It was a restatement of the commands that God had given the children of Israel when God brought them out of Egypt. It is said to have been written about 1400 BC, near the end of the wanderings in the desert, just before the children of Israel were to enter the land of Canaan. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, starting at verse 5, it says, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments." Let's look at that again. It says, "Behold," or "look here." Pay attention. "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments." Can you look around? And can you remember the instructions, the statutes and judgments that you have been taught? Whether it is from your family, your fathers, your mothers, whether it is from your churches, your pastors, your teachers, it says, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me." God is giving each one of us instruction. And that instruction is through His Word, but that instruction is also through speaking of others. Are we open to learning, to being taught? "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do them in the land whether you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations." Other people are watching you. This is your wisdom. This is your understanding that God has given us because other people are watching you. And again, this is not just to the men, but this is to all of us. Because we go hither and yon upon the face of this earth. And we have visitors from Canada, and we go visiting to other places, and there are people that are watching. It says, "Therefore, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely, surely this is a great nation is a wise and understanding people." Is that what people say about you when they observe your life as we go out and about? Do they view us as people that are in to God's Word and practicing and living God's Word? And I'll say that I have not always done the best in living out the gospel of Jesus Christ. But my desire is to keep pressing toward that mark so that when nations, when other people observe me, when other people, other nations, quote, observe you, what will they see? For what nation is there so great? Who hath God so nigh to them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? We have a great opportunity with God and His Word taught to us in our homes, in our churches, in our schools. But then in verse 9 it says, only take heed to thyself. Only take heed to thyself. And one of the things that I've told our children as they have been growing up, and I say this to myself, I've got a big job taking care of me. We can't fix other people. We can't command other people to do what we want them to do because I've got a big job right here. And if we can only, as it says here, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget. Lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them to thy sons and to thy sons' sons. We have grandchildren now. We tried to do a good job in our home. Did we fail? Probably, yes. I'm sure our children could testify to that. But our challenge to them was, we want you to prosper spiritually in spite of the failings that you see in us. Only take heed to thyself, because we got a big job in ourselves. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is known as the Shema. It's basically the Jewish confession of faith. And this confession was to be known and practiced. It was to be taught line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Jesus reiterated that in the New Testament. And then He added to that, because He was raising the bar. He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. But here, the foundational in Deuteronomy. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. How do you establish something in your heart? How do you gain that knowledge and wisdom in your heart? It's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. We learn by hearing. We learn some things that are painful. And sometimes that pain makes that knowledge stick and it builds wisdom. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down and when thou risest up. What do our children hear from me, from you, during the day, during the afternoon, during the waking and the going to bed? What do our children hear and see in us. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. We don't wear the Shema on our hands, nor do we have anything dangling in front of our forehead as a reminder. But God's Word is ever before us, and we see what our hands do basically every day. And this thing about having it on our forehead, it's a reminder that it's close. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house and on thy gates. We visit homes sometimes, and we see these little sayings, verses, other things in people's homes. And we have some of those in our homes as well. It says something about who you are and what your family represents. And we look in the New Testament, the Shema of the New Testament, Ephesians 5:25. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it." Men, and I say this to myself, are we putting our wives first and foremost? Do we love them as much as Christ loved the church, that we are willing to lay down our desires, our wishes, our things for her? And speaking to us about our children, Ephesians 6:4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." I know that many of you all have been taught God's Word, His truth, from little up. It's evident because we see the fruits in the lives of those that are sitting here and maybe in the lives of those that are listening on the phone. And we strive to be good parents. We strive to be good people. But folks, we don't compare to the goodness of our Heavenly Father. In Matthew 7, some very special verses that I've read over and over and over again, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find." This is knowledge of God. This is the wisdom that we gain through His Word. And it says, "Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives. And he that seeks finds. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened." But here's another picture. "Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone?" None of us, with the care that we have for our children, if we know that they are in need of something that would satisfy their hunger, their thirst, we would never pick up a stone and say, "Here, chew on that. Here, eat that." "Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent?" If he asks for something that would be good for him, would we give him something that is harmful, dangerous? Verse 11 says a lot about us as mankind. It says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him?" God, our loving Father, cares abundantly for you and for me. And He wants what's best for us eternally. Do we understand that? Do we understand the love that God has for each one of us and that we are to mirror to those that follow after? I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, this is about the prodigal son. And we know the story, how this young man went to his father and he said, "Give me what is mine." And his father gave him what was his. And this young man took what was his portion of the inheritance. And he took it. And he went away. And it says in verse 13, "And there wasted his substance with riotous living." And then he was broke. He blew it all with riotous living. Verse 14, it says, "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine, and he began to be in want." And what did he do? He went to fulfill that need. It says, "And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and this man sent him into the fields to feed the swine." Swine, to Jewish people, were the lowest of low. And this young man that spent all he had with riotous living, and he got hungry, he was willing to stoop to the lowest level. And it said he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And then he woke up. Then he realized what he had. It says, "When he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare? And here I am, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants.'" He left with a demand. "Give me what I have. Give me my just deserve." And he came to himself and he returned and said, "I'm not worthy." And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." Let's take just a minute to recognize this young man said, "I have sinned against heaven and against you." He acknowledged his sin. He named his sin. But the father said unto the servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hands and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and I will and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. That son that had gone away returned to the love of a father. Wouldn't we rejoice if one came back? One that was dead in sins came back. That's where all of us are, people. We are all separated from God and from Christ when we have not made that commitment to Him. But heaven rejoices when that soul is saved. that father, that man of compassion, saw this young man returning to him. And he was overjoyed and made merry and did everything he could to welcome that son home. That was love and compassion. But the elder son that had stayed home, it says, and the elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. And look at the response of the brother. Look at the response of this one that, quote, had been faithful. It says, and he was angry and would not go in. And his father recognized that. This older brother that had stayed home, that had worked hard, he had obeyed his father. This older, younger son, brother had come home and he was angry. Therefore came his father out and entreated him, son, come in. And he answering to his father said, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed a calf, killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, you are always with me. In that faith, you are always with me. And all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. That is for each of us. But for many of us, we have found that faith in Christ. And we see others that are not living as they were taught. Do we rejoice when they come home? Do we rejoice when they also experience the joy of God the Father and He blesses them? We need to take time, as this father did, to watch and pray. As this father gave this young man his portion, and as he walked away from that home, I can imagine that the father was grieved. And I can imagine that there were many prayers offered up. Do we take time to watch and pray? Do we take time to instruct and then rejoice when we see fruits shine forth? Do we just take time for those that follow after? We recognize God has all the time in the world for us. How much more? How much do we have for those that really need us? Psalm 145, verse 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. We need to take some time. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. More is caught than taught. Here's a familiar poem. It's Saturday morning. The tall grass needs mowed. The garden needs weeding. The drains overflowed. The garage is a clutter. The car needs repair. All needs his attention, but he doesn't care. The roof has a leak. New shingles are waiting. His long list of to-dos are accumulating. What's so important to warrant delay? Does he think if ignored they'll just go away? How can this man with so much on his plate find good cause and reason to procrastinate? It's because he's a man who is certainly wise, a giant of a man in his dear family's eyes. A man who knows well his priorities and chooses the moments important to seize. So where is the man with so much to be done? He's out in the backyard playing catch with his son. Our Heavenly Father has given us every opportunity to be a part of His family. Let's extend that love and compassion to those around us, to those that follow after, that we may rejoice when they come home. God bless you.